It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
This good crowd on a Friday night and meeting on a rainy Friday night at that. Good to see you here. Let me say, and before we go any further and read any scripture, and I want to thank Brother Mayo for allowing me this opportunity to be here this week. I want to thank the church for making it possible for us to be here. Thank you for all your kindness, your hospitality. Thank you for the place to stay, every meal that's been provided, the fellowship, the kind words, and for making us feel at home. And I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And it is hard at times. I'm here alone as far as my family's concerned. I've got a wife and three daughters back at home in North Carolina. It's hard to leave them. And there is a sense of homesickness. But I felt at home here. The Lord's helped us in the services. And
yes.
So I'm very grateful to have been able to be here sharing this time with you. And I trust that someone or multiple someones have gotten help in the days of meeting this week. And if you
Amen.
Have all the glory, all the honor of that belongs to God.
Amen.
It's not anything that I've done or ever could do. It's all because of Him. And so I'm grateful, though, to have been allowed this privilege. Thank the Lord for putting me and Brother Mayo in each other's path along this journey.
Yes.
And it's good to know that 1,000 miles from home, there's some brothers and sisters in Christ that are still loving, walking in the old town way.
Amen.
And there's a whole lot of that said in this day, and a lot of misconfusion about what that is. The mark, the true mark
Go ahead.
Of the old time way
right.
is the leadership of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That is the old time way.
That's right.
It's not in overalls and bonnets and red paisley handkerchiefs, and I don't know how it is here, but up home, a lot of people put a lot of stock in that, and there's nothing wrong in any of that. But wearing those things and going through motions, carrying a King James Bible, though I'm all for it, it's the only one there is.
Right.
But that don't make you an old-time Christian.
Yeah. Right.
The Holy Ghost does.
That's right.
And following Him and His leadership, being obedient to Him, doing what He says to do.
That's right.
That is the true mark of the old-timer.
That's right.
So I'm glad that there are still some that are
right.
willing and wanting and worshiping in the old-time way.
Amen.
So I thank you for allowing us to be here this week. Well, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll try to read some verses and try our best to give you what's on our heart for the service tonight. Try to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. And thought we'd preach last night to the church, and the Holy Ghost had other plans. That's all right. I'm glad He knows.
Right.
And so my heart is, if the Lord will help us and allow us, and you'll pray for us tonight, my heart is to preach to you, the people of the church, try to do some. I know in the Scriptures, we as preachers are commanded to reprove and rebuke. There are times for that. But He also said to exalt.
Right.
In all long suffering and doctrine. I think the time has come that the people of God need some exhortation.
Good.
That word exhort literally means to encourage.
Right.
It really means to cheer on.
Right.
That's what it means, to lift the spirits. And so, by the help of the Lord, I hope to try to leave some encouraging words as we finish up this meeting, Lord willing, tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, familiar scripture beginning in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Yes.
And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, if God would help me, for just a few minutes, on this charge to the Christian soldier. Paul here, writing to this church at Ephesus, has, for the last couple of chapters, been writing about the duties of us that are saved. He's wrote about the duty of the husband.
Right.
He's wrote about the duty of the wife. He's wrote about the duty of the parents as well as the children.
Right.
He's wrote about the duty of servants and their masters. And then he gets down to the end and he uses the word finally.
Yes.
This very last duty that he's going to write about is the duty, the obligation. He's going to give the charge to us,
right,
as a soldier,
yes,
in the army of God.
Yes.
He's going to spend more time on this duty than any other.
Right.
He's going to spend more time telling us how to be a good soldier,
right,
than he did telling men how to be good husbands and good fathers. He's going to spend more time telling us how to be a good soldier,
yeah,
than telling the women how to be good wives,
right,
and good mothers. Because I believe that if the spiritual is right,
right,
then the natural will be right.
That's right.
If we can put ourselves in submission and subjection to God as our mighty captain,
yes,
and us under Him,
yes,
and Him being our leader,
right,
and us following Him,
right,
we'll have no problem as men being good husbands and fathers, and women being good wives and mothers, and children being in subjection to their parents,
right,
if we will submit to our leader and be a good soldier of the Lord.
Right.
Right.
I read some requirements out. Thought today, and I'm just going to take my time and try to preach to you what's on my heart.
Boy,
I read today some examples and stories, accounts in the Word of God about some soldiers that we would call good soldiers.
Yes.
And what it was that made them a good soldier. I thought about my mind and heart, but automatically went to the book of Judges, chapter number 6.
Yes.
And I thought about this man by the name of Gideon,
yeah,
that the Bible said was a mighty man of valor.
Yes.
And the Lord was with him.
Yes.
That's what makes us a good soldier.
That's right.
First and foremost, if you don't get anything else out of it, the reason that we're on the winning side is because of who our captain is.
Right.
He never has lost a battle, and he never wins.
Right.
He never has been tripped up by the enemy,
right,
and he never wins.
Right.
There have been men all down through time that we've read about and learned about, that history has said are some of the greatest military minds in the world, but somewhere along the line they missed the mark.
Right.
And our captain never has.
That's right.
Amen.
He knows the way to go. He knows what strategy to use.
Right.
And if we'll submit to Him.
Yes.
The problem is that a lot of the people of God want to go AWOL.
Go ahead.
And they want to do it in our own power, our own
and strengthens my heart to read this. And we ought to read this letter as if Paul was writing it to us.
Yes.
For it has application to us. This is not just a letter of the church in Ephesus, but this is a letter to us today in 2019 as the people of God. And doesn't it encourage your heart and hope to that a man of God like the Apostle Paul who would address us and say, my brethren.
Amen.
In other words, Paul said, hey, we're all in this thing together.
That's right.
We're all under the same leader.
Right.
Marching the same direction.
Yes.
Fighting the same enemy.
Yes.
On the same side. With the same weapons. And victory's coming after a while.
Right.
Because of who our captain is.
Right.
And so Paul reminds them that we're all in this thing together.
Amen.
We've lost out of that. That we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Our battle is not up in the church, up the road, or down the road.
Right.
We all face the same enemy.
Right.
And he's the one to fight against.
Right. Amen.
Not our brethren. We've got churches that want to fight against each other.
Right.
And we're taking steps backward as the people of God.
Right. Amen.
Makes no difference to me. I mean, it really doesn't. God knows my heart. What name's over the door? As long as you believe what's right, we ought to cut some lines and worship together and work together and roar together. We're all in this together.
Amen, bro.
There are no divisions in the army of God.
Right.
There are no separate branches. We're all on the same fighting field.
Right.
All in the same family.
Yeah.
A family ought to be able to get along.
Right.
We seem to have a lot of trouble.
Yes, sir.
As the family of God getting along.
Yes, sir.
It's costing us. Yes, sir. Stones are laid in the balance and found wanting. And instead of spending our time preaching the gospel to countless souls of men and women that are dying without God and going to hell, we're fighting amongst one another about what color the carpet is or how the pews are painted. God help us.
Right.
We're not being very good soldiers.
Right.
Gideon had 32,000. But all 32,000 were not good soldiers. There were only 300 that were good soldiers. Less than 1% were good soldiers. What was it, preacher, that made them a good soldier? Well, I want to say, number one, they were willing to fight.
Amen. Amen.
God said, Gideon, I know this number looks good, but they ain't all willing to fight.
Right. Right.
And you can't be a good soldier unless you're willing to fight.
Right.
I'm not talking out against each other, but I'm telling you, if you look around in the world today, it's an evident fact that we are in a battle.
Right.
It's probably harder now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
The church is in a greater heat of battle now than she's ever been in. And the battle will not cease until we check out of here. But thanks be unto God, victory's coming after all.
Amen.
Yeah. So, the Lord said, Gideon, you go through that crowd and tell them that they're afraid or they want to go home. Really what he said, if you're not willing to fight,
yeah.
I mean, it's easy to get the uniform.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's easy to polish the brass and shine the shoes and stand in the ranks and go through basic training. But when it comes down to fighting, you're going to have to be willing to fight and to be a good soldier.
Right.
Yeah. The Bible said 22,000 went home.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 are left. Gideon thought, all right, got my good soldiers. The Lord said, hold it. They're not all good soldiers. So not only do you have to be willing to fight, but you have to know how to handle the water.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
He said, take them. Now, the first trial, the first week now, God gave Gideon the ability to do it.
Right.
He let Gideon weed them out.
Right.
And there are times that if you have a good man of God that stands over you, you ought to thank God for it. There are times he treats it the way he does because God has allowed him to weed out some stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Not to be in the house of God.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Not everybody that walks through the door wants to be here.
That's right.
That's
not
right.
Not everybody that walks through the door is for the people of God nor for God.
That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah. That's why Paul had to deal with them wolves. He said, after I departed, they'll come ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing, and they won't spare the flock.
That's right.
Out the bloodshed. So there are times that there has to be a weeding out, and it's done by the man of God through what God does through him.
Yeah.
God gives him some insight. That's the way God set it up. Of the marriage relationship, the home relationship, is a direct natural representation of the spiritual relationship between the pastor and the church.
That's right.
The husband's the head, just as the pastor's the head, he's the under-shepherd under the mighty shepherd, and everything works through him. The leadership, the responsibility is there on the shoulders of the man of God.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way God set it up.
That's right.
Right.
And so there are times that God allows the man of God, gives him insight to take care of some things.
Yeah.
Right.
But then the Lord said, Gideon, it's not enough yet. They're not all good soldiers, but now Gideon, this ain't got nothing to do with you. You just take them down to water. Let me handle the rest.
Right.
He said, if you'll give them to the water.
Yeah.
The water will do the dividing.
Yeah.
If you give them in the water, the water will weed them out. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have any deep theological explanation as to why 300 drank the water the way they did and 9,700 drank it the way they did. And the only explanation I have is it just come natural.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a good soldier, there's just something natural about wanting the water.
Amen.
Amen.
The water is a type of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And there is just something natural. But we talked about it last night, and maybe even the night before, of Jesus' life and salvation, of being born again, a new birth. And so when we're born again, there's a natural desire put inside of us to walk the Word.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to know how to take the walk.
Yes. Right.
There are some days that I've been in meetings and it's not been my lot to preach. And I've sat and listened just like you have. And the preacher got up and plowed my row.
Yes.
And I might not have liked it.
Right.
And I might have got a little irritated at it. But when the water did its work and all the results came out, I was glad that I had the water.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Just natural. See, them 9,700, I think, now this is just my opinion, you don't have to take it for the gospel, but they got down there on their hands and knees and on the, they shut up the water desk, prayed to getting it on them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They wanted just enough to quench their thirst.
Come on.
Yeah.
But the others, the Bible said, they pulled it from the river up to their mouth and lapped like a dog. You can guarantee it got all over them, but it didn't matter to them. They just wanted the Lord.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to walk the water.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Whether it pours all over you or not. There are times we come in and it's a shout and hallelujah. Glory time. I'm glad for them. But there are also times that everybody just needs to be still and be quiet. Let God have His word. And it might be a door room that is loud or somebody else's. But if it's in your room, you're right with God and you want to be a good soldier, you'll thank the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if we're going to be a good soldier, we're going to have to be willing to fight.
Yeah.
If we're going to be a good soldier, we have to know how to take the law.
Yeah.
Paul told Timothy, if we're going to be a good soldier, we're going to have to separate ourselves from the world.
That's right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
He told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier
right.
of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the next verse is where it's at.
Yeah.
2 Timothy chapter 2, I think it is. He said, no man that warreth. Now, I just got finished talking about being a good soldier.
Right.
So he's still on that train of thought. No man that warreth, if we're really going to fight, if we're really going to be in the battle, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life.
That's right.
Why, preacher?
Yeah.
That he may please him
yeah.
who hath chosen him
That's right.
to be a soldier.
That's right. Yeah.
See, I didn't get in this army by myself.
Right.
I didn't get in it because I enlisted. I got drafted one day. He chose me to be a soldier. And if I'm going to be a good one, I can't run around in the world and do what the world says and the world does and the world wants. I got to touch some lives and be in subjection to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I'm entangled up with the affairs of this life.
Right.
Right.
See, all of it, just like we talked this week, Brother Mayo, all of these physical things that we see, and they're just types and metaphors of the spiritual.
Right.
If I knew, if I was in the army, and I've never served in the military, so I don't know much about it besides what I've read and what I've heard from others. Some of you here have served before. But if I knew tonight that I was going to have to go into battle and the hardest part of the battle, I'd want to know the men that were with me had their mind on the battle and not their mind on home and their mind on what tomorrow may bring and their mind on what Aunt Susie said or old Uncle Charlie. But I want their mind right and not their mind because it could be life or death. That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And we're encountering casualties in the war. Because people cannot separate themselves from the world.
Boy, yeah.
And they come in, and I said I want to encourage you, and I'm trying. I'm trying to encourage you to be a good soldier.
Go ahead, brother. Just preach.
We stay out all night on Saturday night doing whatever we want to do. Get about 5 hours of sleep, come dragging in on Sunday morning. Can't hardly hold our eyes open. And then we wonder why. Well, that we don't get anything out of the preacher and it doesn't do us any good. And we walk out the same way we come in. We're going to have to turn some lives.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Pride.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We want to quote that about salvation, but I'm going to tell you, 10 years after you get saved, you're still a new creature.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm no man's judge. God's the only one that can do that. But I'm going to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you can do what you used to do, and it doesn't bother you, and you can get by with it, it's a pretty evident fact. You're not a child of God.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. Right here.
I'm not saying we're going to live perfect. I'm going to tell you how this works. Now, I'm not old. I'm 30 years old. I've been preaching for 13 years. Many of you are much older than I. And many of you men of God have been preaching longer than I've been alive. But I figured something out in 13 years. When you're a child of God, and you will do wrong.
Right. That's right.
You will do wrong. I'm not saying we have a license to see it. That's nowhere in the Bible. But he said, John said these things right unto you. And by the way, First John is not written to the lost.
Right.
It's a family.
Yeah.
He uses the word my little children.
Yeah.
He called the church. And he said, my little children, these things right unto you that you see and not.
Right.
It's the will of God that we don't see Him.
Right.
But John knew that was to be expected because we still struggle with the flesh. And so he said, but if any man knew sin.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it happened with the Father.
Yeah. Jesus Christ the righteous.
Right. If we confess our sins, that's not a sinner, so it might have application to enter into the church. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar.
That's right.
His word is not in us. I'm going to tell you, you get up one of these people and say that they're perfect and they've not sinned today, you better watch out because they're a liar and they're probably a thief and they're probably steal from you.
Hey,
I'm going to tell you how this works. If you really are a child of God and you do wrong, you'll hate yourself for it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There'll be such a spirit of condemnation come over you because you'll realize the moment.
Right.
The moment you do wrong.
Right. That's right.
You'll realize it. There are some sins, Brother Mayo, I believe we commit out of ignorance, and we may not know.
But
I'm going to tell you, even them out of ignorance, the minute you do them, there's something inside of you that says, you just did wrong.
Right.
And then if you don't get it right, he's going to do you just like we all did our children. I don't know what they call it down here in Louisiana, but I know what they call it up around where I'm from, and it's called taking you to the woodshed. And I've been there a few times, both physically and spiritually, and I will tell you what, if he ever chastens you, that you'll love him for it, and because he does it out of love and wants the best for you, and it'll make you not want to do that no more.
Right.
You say what?
Right.
I've been saved for 5 or 10 years and God ain't never chasing me. You're probably not saved then.
That's right. That's right.
You say, preacher, you judging me? No, I'm not. The Bible is.
If
any man be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers.
That's right.
Not just a portion of the children of God, but all are partakers. I mean, the Bible said your master is not a son.
Right.
For every child whom the father loves, he corrects.
That's right.
And so, we're going to have to separate ourselves from the world.
That's right.
If we're going to be a good soldier.
That's right.
You can't go to battle with something else but battle on your mind.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you why that Grandma and Grandpa had revival and we struggle to see it. And I'm not saying God can't do it. He's still the same God He's always been.
Right.
We can have just as much revival today as they did 100 years ago. But I'm going to tell you why they had it and we didn't. It's because when they came into church, church was on their mind.
That's good.
And I'm going to tell you what's more than that. You say, well, I can do that. Yeah. But when they came into church, the church was on their mind. That wasn't the first time that day church had been on their mind.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
They've been more shouting guns around the kitchen sink in my area than most churches have experienced in the last 40 years.
Yes, sir. Yes.
They've been more praying and go on, and I'm talking about true prayer. It's amazing to me what we call prayer today.
Yeah.
We're no better than most of the hypocrites and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, and we got our repetition. We'll change it up about once every third time so we don't repeat ourselves every time, and we think that really is praying.
Come
on. Yeah. Help us. You say, well, Jesus gave us the model prayer. He wasn't telling us what to pray. He's telling us how to pray.
Right.
The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not what to pray, but what He's telling us is those are the things that we ought to ask for when we pray.
Right.
Yeah. Then more praying go on in the pine thicket.
Yes, sir.
In days of old, and most churches have experienced in all their days.
Yes, sir.
I wonder when the last time your neighbors heard you pray.
Go ahead.
You say, preacher, that's far out there. No. Yeah. I want to know, do you have a place? A place.
Yeah.
You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, then you need to get one.
That's right.
If you're saved, and I'm going to tell you the sad statistic is that the majority of saved folk, the only time they pray is around this altar when Sunday morning service takes place. And the majority of the time, the only people of God, the only time they read their Bible is when the preacher stands behind the pulpit and calls it a book, a chapter, a verse, and they read along with it.
Go ahead.
And then we wonder why.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what. The Lord ain't never lost a battle. He never has.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something we are losing in this day.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The church is going to come out on top. But we as a generation, we as a nation of people are losing stuff that we're never going to get back.
Yeah.
Right. It's evident that we're at war. There's an enemy that we're facing.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to come to grips with some things. Alright? Now I'm just preaching out of the heart of love. I want to help you. God knows my heart. I want to encourage you and strengthen you. I want to call Brother Mayo in a few months and say, how's it going? Yeah. And he'll say they're encouraged, they're fighting, they're being good souls.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to come to grips with some things about this enemy we're facing.
Yeah.
Now I'm not trying to give him any credit. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says.
That's right.
Number one, he's a powerful enemy.
Yes.
Yes.
He is the prince and the power of the air.
Right.
We are wrestling against principalities and powers. And spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm going to tell you something that may burst your bubble. But we are no match for him. We don't stand a chance against him. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in you.
That's right.
Not you, but what in you.
Right.
He that's in the world. And there's a twofold application there of both the fact that the devil, our adversary, is in the world. But I think also this flesh of man that we contend with and war against, greater is what's on the inside than on the outside.
Amen.
But you're going to have to submit to the Spirit of God on the inside before you ever can enhance and embrace the power he can give you to face the enemy. He's powerful.
Yes.
He's personal. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. It amazes me, Brother Mel, he could have said our adversary. He said, your adversary. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you. That he may sift you as well. That word sift, which we all know, we grew up in the South. I mean, we know what sifting fire is, but that word sift literally means an inward agitation. It means that the devil was going to do exactly what he did, and he was going to stir up and agitate Peter until he denied the Lord.
I'm
going to tell you something.
Yeah.
He said, Simon, Simon, Satan, isn't it amazing? You better pay attention to how the Bible words things. He didn't call him Peter.
Right. That's right.
He called him by that name that he was before he met the Lord, because he said, you're fixing to give in to that outward nature. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. There have been days in my ministry, some dear old sainted grandmother, or some dear man of God, I've got texts this week, and I want you to know as a church that there are men of God and there are people of God. They're not just praying for me, they're praying for you.
That's right. That's right.
I've got a little church and it ain't big, but it ain't in numbers anyway, on the side of the road in Mars Hill, North Carolina, and they've been praying for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy, it's done my heart good, but the Lord Himself said, I have prayed for you. Don't you think he gets what he asks for?
I believe. Amen.
You say, well, he ain't never paid for me. Beg to differ.
That's right. John 17.
John chapter 17. He said, I'm praying for these you've given me. Not for these only.
Right. Right.
But for every one of them that shall believe at their word.
Amen.
Yeah. You say, how did you get saved? By their word.
That's right.
I know that's God's word.
Yeah.
But he used holy men of old to write the word. And it was right. Their word that was preached to me. And so I prayed for me. And if you're saved, he prayed for you.
Amen.
Because he knows about the enemy. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about this enemy. He's not just powerful and personal. He does not play fair.
No, sir.
Never. That's why Paul said we are standing against the wiles. W-I-L-E-S. Wiles. The devil.
Yeah.
That word means deceit.
Yeah.
Trickery.
Right.
Craftiness. Literally means underhanded dealing. Because that's exactly what he does.
Yes. Yes.
He came to Eve in the garden that day. And the word is not subtle. The word is subtle.
Yes.
Subtle. Which also meant cunning. The snake, the serpent, was the most cunning beast of the field.
Yeah.
And he came in a form that she never expected. I'm going to tell you, he'll come to you in a form you'll never expect.
That's
right.
Peter, it's no coincidence that Peter was the one commissioned to write about the snares and the adversary of the devil. He's the one that fell into them.
Right.
And it's no coincidence that this physical type and metaphor of a lion plays over into the spiritual realm. And he said, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything about a hunting lion. The male lion does none of the hunting.
That's right. There you go.
The females go out and lie in wait, hidden in the grass. And the male lion comes up behind the herd, whatever it may be, and he roars. And he strikes fear on the inside. Now I'm going to tell you something. The Lord, if you don't get anything else, I think somebody needs to hear this. The Lord does not deal in fear.
Amen.
God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
right,
but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Right.
I understand that in conviction there's an element of fear. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about after salvation. God does not deal with His children out of fear. There's a reverence. There's a respect. That type of fear. But I'm talking about the type of fear that the devil works.
Right.
Yeah.
And he strikes fear, and they go running and run straight in the trap.
Yeah.
It's been set for them. You say, well, preacher, you're not encouraging us too much, telling us about this warfare, this enemy. But the Bible said in these verses I read to you, there are some weapons.
Amen.
And the weapons, though we walk, though we live in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though we live in the flesh, we walk not, we war not after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, and the pulling down of strongholds.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You say, what am I supposed to get out of that? Well, if you don't get anything else out of it, you ought to get the fact where it said they are mighty through God.
Amen.
The Bible said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His power.
Right.
It's not about us. I may be a good soldier, but He can make me walk.
Right.
The house of me has to set myself in Him.
Amen.
Amen.
have these weapons given to us. And we are charged in this scripture.
Right.
If you're given a charge, it's greater than a command. A charge comes with responsibility.
Right.
And what Paul is saying, it becomes responsibility to pick them up and use the weapons.
Right.
And it's not just pick and choose.
No.
It's take unto you the whole armor of God.
Right.
Twice it's mentioned.
That's right.
The whole armor.
Right.
Right.
He said, having your loins girt about with truth.
Right.
There's two types of weapons mentioned here.
Yeah.
There's defensive and offensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's those for protection from the enemy. And then there's those for power over the enemy.
Right.
And it begins with those with protection.
Yeah.
He said, having your loins. It's amazing to me. He don't start off with the helmet of salvation.
Right.
He starts off with truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have the truth, you don't have anything.
That's right.
The truth is what holds everything else together.
Right.
All of these articles will have a fashion and hang on the truth.
Right.
Right.
Truth. You say, what's this truth business for? Every one of these weapons, I'm going to preach to you what God put on my heart. How give it to me. Other preachers can preach however God gives it to them. But every one of these weapons are a guard. These protective weapons guard some element that is necessary for our Christian walk. And this girdle of truth guards our worship.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
You cannot worship without the truth.
That's right.
Jesus said true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We got in our mind in a lot of churches, and I'm not saying any of these, but they say we have a praise and a worship team.
Yeah.
That's all fine and well. I'm on the team of a praise and worship. But the problem I got with it is some old human man's name is out on the sign and it says worship leader.
Go ahead.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
I have a worship leader.
That's right.
And if you say you've got the same one I do,
that's right.
It don't matter that I'm 1,000 miles in North Carolina and you're 1,000 miles down here in Louisiana. That you're saved and a true worshiper and have this truth around you, you have the same worship leader that I have.
Right.
His name's the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And did you know you can't worship without He says you can?
Yes.
That's right.
This truth and this spirit, what Jesus was saying to this woman up there that day at the well, He was taking the Jews and using them for example. They were in religious formalism. They went about their deeds and their ceremony. There was no truth. There was no spirit. But He said, if you're going to really worship, it's going to have to come from within you, stirred up by the Spirit and the truth of the gospel.
Right.
Truth. You're going to have truth. If we don't have the truth, we're going to stumble. Because that girdle, men in that day, soldiers wore long flowing garments, and they would take those garments and pull them up and tuck them in the belt in order to allow them not to hinder their marrow.
Yeah.
It's no coincidence that's the truth. If you know the truth,
yes.
If you know the truth,
yes.
You will keep from being hindered in the battle.
Good.
Because there are all kinds of doctrines and divisions and devils that are going to try to bombard you and convince you of things. But if you know the truth,
right,
it will set you free.
Yeah.
Have your loins girded out with truth. That's the guard of your worship. And the breastplate of righteousness, I think that's the next one, ain't it?
Yes.
That's not your righteousness.
No, sir.
That's
no,
it. That is imputed unto you. And you know what righteousness does? It guards your heart.
Yes, sir.
That's where the breastplate was. You say, what does that mean? Well, the truth guards your worship. The breastplate guards your want to.
Yeah.
If you lose heart, you're no good in the army.
Right.
If you lose your desire, the next thing is all but quitting and giving up. That's why the Bible said we'll delight ourselves in the Lord.
In the Lord, right.
He will give us the desires of our hearts.
Right.
He didn't say He'd give us our heart's desires.
No, no.
That scripture don't mean He's going to give you everything you desire.
Right.
That scripture means He will literally give you your desires.
Right.
So He will put the right kind of desire inside of you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Many in our day have lost their want to.
Yeah.
Be it for whatever reason. They've looked around. They've got like them Levites were over there. I believe it was the Levites when they were building the wall. And they come to Nehemiah and said, there's too much rubbish and we our strength is gone and the bearer of burdens is decayed. We can't build the wall.
Yeah.
Lost their want to. I'm going to tell you, if you get to look around this world, there's a whole lot of rubbish.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But if we can get through the rubbish.
Yeah.
See, them stones were just as good as they'd always been.
Yes.
And we have encountered a generation. We have suffered harm and loss. And our walls are broken down. And we need somebody to sit through the rubbish and find the stones and build the walls again.
Yeah.
The enemy said, well, are they really? Are they going to revive the stones out of the heaps?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They said they're going to dig through all the garbage just to get them same old stones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And them same stones are in heaps and piles today. And we need some mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas to get the walk through the deer and go through the rubbish and heal the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Breastplate of righteousness. Guard your walk too.
Yes, sir.
So we got the truth to guard your worship. And the breastplate to guard your walk too. Then we got the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace to guard your walk.
Yes.
It's that gospel.
Yes.
The light of the glorious gospel.
Amen.
We don't walk in darkness.
Right.
That's what Paul was getting at. You don't have to walk blindly. We have a mighty captain that goes before us to lead the way and to lead the charge. And John said, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
You say, what's that doing anything? I'm going to tell you, numbers ain't it.
Amen.
That's right.
It ain't about numbers. If it was about numbers, God would have never weeded Gideon down to 300 and
32,000.
It's not about numbers. It's about unity. There's strength not in numbers, but in unity.
Right.
And we need a unified front. So the church needs to get unified and united. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when David wrote that psalm, he wasn't talking about just his four and no more.
Right.
Yeah. Matter of fact, if you study it, I think that was one of the Psalms of Ascents.
Yes, Lord.
Or the Psalms of Degrees.
Right.
And what those were was that one time a year when all the Jews from every area around the globe would come together. And at that moment, it didn't matter what political party they were with. It didn't matter how much money they had, what they didn't have. But the only thing that mattered at that moment is that they were the family of God.
Right.
Amen.
They can set aside all the indifferences.
Yeah.
Go to worship.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, we're holding high esteem things that just don't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we're down for the things that matter, Luke told Theophilus there are some things that are most certainly believed among us.
Right.
And there's no debate on them. But there's some opinions and some things that ought never be brought into church because they just don't matter.
Right.
That's right.
The only thing that ought to matter when we come in this place is that we are the people of God.
Yeah.
And we're going to unite.
Yes.
Because there is power. There is power in the United Church.
Amen.
The devil don't care if you get 500 in attendance. If you're not united, you're not going to do any good anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we need that light of the gospel to shine and show us where to walk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he said the shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guard for your trust in.
Yeah.
Fear and doubt is the opposite of faith.
Right.
And so he gave us this shield to stand against those fiery darts of the wicked.
Yes.
The word fiery, if you study it out, literally means to be filled with poison.
Mm-hmm.
When they would pierce the skin, they wouldn't just cause a wound. They would inflame it. Cause it to boil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we don't have the shield of faith,
it's
exactly what will happen to our mind. All that doubt, all those questions, and all them low points we get in, the devil comes with that faithful line, if God really loved you.
Yeah, you're right.
If He is really there for you,
how would all these things happen to you?
And if you don't have that shield of faith to trust Him.
Yes.
See, it's an amazing thing to me, them writers, them old songs, they really knew what they was talking about.
Yeah.
When they said, He is so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Just to take Him at His word.
Yeah.
You don't need to know what I want to say or have to say. Just take Him at His word.
Right.
Sing a song up home that said there's no need to doubt Him now.
Yeah.
He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far Jesus has brought me. There's no, if He hadn't failed to this far, what makes you think He won't fail us? But they're close to home. He ain't going to. You're going to have some help to trust Him.
Yeah.
I wonder how much you trust Him. A good question to ask.
It is.
How much do you trust Him?
Yes.
You trust Him enough to follow Him?
Yeah.
Back home in North Carolina, I've got a small flock of sheep. And I've learned more with them about the spiritual things than I thought I'd ever learn.
Yeah.
And you know what? It took a while for them to trust me enough to follow me.
Yeah.
But when they saw that I was leading them to the best place, they learned to trust me.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't you see He's leading you to the best place?
That's right.
Why can't you trust Him?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And follow Him. Do you trust Him to feed you?
Go ahead.
Amen.
Good.
I got one that she's a little bit stubborn. And she'll follow me, but she always follows in the back of the line. And if you believe it or not, when I go into the pasture, now that they've learned me, they form single file. And they follow me all the way up to where they get fed. You might trust Him enough to follow Him. And you might trust Him enough to feed you, but are you trusting Him as your only food source? Or is there some doubt in your mind that you really want what He has? She lingers behind and she may really want what I have, but by the time she gets to where it's at, all the others have already ate it. And I'm sorry, but I don't go back and get more just for her. She's got to learn to trust me.
That's good.
He's set a table before you, and it's up to you.
That's right.
Whether you eat or not. But don't go home saying everybody else got it and I didn't if you won't trust him.
That's good. That's good.
But they don't want to know, do you trust him to touch
him? Yeah.
I got one of them, and she's always the first in line. I thought she trusts me with everything in her. She follows me, feed her. She just about ran her head in the bucket before I ever get it poured out. But I went in the field one day and noticed she was limping. And I thought, well, I need to check you out. I got them up out of the shed and poured the corn out. And this sheep that trusts me to follow me and for me to feed her, I got a hold of her. And I learned she didn't trust me to fix her. And I'm going to tell you, he will never do you any harm.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
If you'll just let him lay his hands on you.
Yes.
It don't matter what's going on in your life. He can fix it.
Amen.
I'm amazed that Jairus come to Jesus that day and he said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. If you'll just come and lay your hands on her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Will you let him lay his hands on you?
Yeah.
That's good.
And fix you.
Lord,
do you have that shield of faith?
Yeah.
Or do you have a trust problem?
Yeah.
A trust problem.
Yeah.
So he said, taking the shield of faith.
Yeah.
For with it shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the helmet of salvation. That's to protect your thinking.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You say that's awful simple. Well, most Christians don't understand that this is the battleground.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Not here. The Lord occupies here. This is your battleground. This is where the warfare goes on.
Yes.
And if you're not thinking right, you may harm yourself and others. But I'm glad we have a helmet.
Yes. Amen.
Of salvation. That God can do and assure your mind of what He's done in your heart.
Amen.
Then he said, we're to put on those.
Right.
That literally means to be clothed in. I'm done. I'm about done. Then he says, take unto you. That means to pick up and use the offensive weapons. And there are two of them, not just one. All we think about, and I'm glad for it, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right.
And it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
And it is of the Spirit, capital S, because He is the only... I want you to hear me now.
Go ahead.
He's the only one that knows how to wield it.
That's good.
If you take it in your hands, do it without His leadership, you're going to do the same thing Peter did in the garden. You're going to cut somebody's ear off when it ought not to be done.
That's good.
We think that's comical, but the Lord rebuked him.
Yeah,
sure did.
He said, it ain't time. There's a time for the sword.
Right.
And the Spirit knows when.
Amen.
Right.
And for us men of God, and I'm the youngest here, and I'm not qualified to preach to preachers, but we do need to understand to let the Lord wield the sword through us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
David went down, I heard Brother Mill beside him. David went down to the brook and he got five smooth stones. Brother Mibby said he didn't get no sailing rocks.
Right. Yeah.
Them sailing rocks, he ain't got no control.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what the big problem in our churches today is that the men of God won't spend time with the Lord and get the smooth stones they ought to have.
Yeah.
They just get up in the pulpit and send out the sailing rocks and hit people that ought not be hit.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, the Lord has perfect time.
Amen.
Perfect time. And if we will get with Him, let Him sail the storm, He'll know exactly where it needs to go. But then it's not just the sword. But He said, use the word, I think it's in there, the last verse that we read, praying always.
Amen. Amen.
With all prayer and supplication now in the Spirit.
That's right.
Did you know the Spirit is the only one to tell you how to pray?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have you ever just stopped and let Him tell you how to pray?
That's good.
Have you ever been in a shape you didn't know how to pray? Or the words to say.
Oh, yes.
There
have been some days all I knew to say was, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Didn't know anything else to say. But I know one of them helps. He helped me.
Amen.
Amen.
We put so much emphasis on what we say. We've even got sinners so confused they don't even know what to say. It ain't about what you say.
Right.
Yeah.
You can fall out with me if you want to. Ain't none of you going to convince me I'm not born again. I know what happened. But I come to the altar that Tuesday night and I didn't know anything else to say but Lord, save me.
Yeah.
And I said it over and over and over. I don't know how many times I said it, but one of them it took. You say you got to say more than that, but I'd like for you to go with me in the Bible to that faithful night on the scene of when Peter started sinking and he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached forth His hand up. Peter didn't have time to go into a big long spiel about who He was and what He was. And if that's the way the Lord promised you to pray, you obey Him. But it ain't about all of that.
Right.
I wonder when the last time you really prayed. Really prayed. Not talking about said some words, went to your place, come to the altar. You can have a place and you ought to have one, but you don't even know that place and never really pray.
Right.
You can say a whole lot of words that sound good and never really pray.
That's right.
When's the last time you prayed in the Spirit? The Bible said that we're to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We want to talk about shouting in the Holy Ghost and singing in the Holy Ghost and preaching in the Holy Ghost and all of them's wonderful and that's what it takes. But when's the last time we prayed in the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you something about this warfare and I'm done. By the nature of war, there's always going to be somebody who's wounded. Some wounded by the fight. It's just the natural course of things. I'm afraid we got far too many wounded by friendly fire. Things that shouldn't be said are said. Things that shouldn't be done are done.
Yeah.
Calls that shouldn't be made are made. We're hurting one another. And I'm going to tell you something. We got enough against us out there.
Yeah.
We sure don't need to be against each other. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. We get this picture in our mind that in this day, and if you've got this picture while I've been preaching, I want to correct it. We get this picture in our mind that the church is backed up into some corner over here, and we're just trying to hold out till the end. The church is not on defense.
Yeah.
She's on offense.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
back yonder, the Lord said that we're not, we didn't make the church. The church was before us, and when we leave the scene, the church will go on. The Lord set the church in forward motion. He established the church. Over there on the shores of Caesarea Philippi, He said, "Who do men say I am?" They said, "Some say you're Elias or Jeremiah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets." He said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ,
Amen.
Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. The flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father is that which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter upon this rock." Not on Peter. But on the rock, on the foundation, that He was the Christ. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
me."
We're not back into some corner trying to make it till the Lord comes. This thing is still in forward motion. And I'm going to tell you what some old preacher told me. The church is going forward, and if you want to go, you better get in with us. Because we're going forward. And we will overcome. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already won. The war has already been won. But there are battles we're going to have to face and fight and stick together. And be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Would you stand, please? Would you examine your heart, the desires of your heart, the desire to be a good soldier? Is it in you? Have you heard a charge from heaven? Pick up the sword again. Go to battle again. To stand united again. To love one another. Labor with one another. Lift up one another. You must be a good soldier. Are you willing to fight? Do you want the law? Will you separate yourself from the Lord? To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Savior, all of the oppressed, oh,
very hesitant to end. I know we've come to that point. He said, you won't have anything, and again, no foolishness. I don't want to hear anything of your flesh. He said, you'll have anything from the Lord. Anything they'd like to thank Him for, anything they'd like to declare. All right. Are all hearts settled? We'll dismiss then. The word of prayer. Brother Robert, I'll ask you to dismiss us in prayer.